the airliner tarmac strandings continue. Embry-Riddle helps the FAA test trajectory-based operations. And Bell Helicopter announces more cuts in Texas. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 25th, 2009. Weather forced a scrub of this morning's launch of the Shuttle Discovery just moments before its scheduled liftoff at 1:36 a.m. Eastern Time. NASA's next window for the start of mission STS-128 is tomorrow morning at 1:10 a.m. EDT. All the efforts to get an airline passenger's Bill of Rights still haven't gotten a bill through Congress, but at least the years of work has focused more media attention on incidents of passenger abuse when they do occur. There were at least two more lengthy tarmac strandings over the weekend, both involving planes trying to get to Minneapolis from JFK in New York. A Sun Country flight was stuck on the ground for about 5.5 hours. Passenger John Nides tells KARE-TV News that, adding insult to injury, the flight attendants were baking fragrant chocolate chip cookies but only serving them in first class. Quote, "So, have you ever been in a kitchen when they're baking chocolate chip cookies and you haven't eaten for 4 or 5 hours?" Unquote. Sun Country CEO Stan Gadeck has apologized and says his airline is instituting a voluntary policy requiring passengers to be allowed to deplane if they sit for 4 hours on the tarmac. A Delta flight to Minneapolis was also delayed in New York on Friday, in this case for 4 hours. Those passengers were finally allowed to deplane and told to come back to the airport for a flight Saturday morning. Because the flight was never officially canceled, Delta left its stranded passengers on their own for hotel rooms. Then, KARE reports the Saturday morning flight was delayed too, apparently by a failure to have water tanks serving the lavatories filled in time for departure. Both airlines blame runway construction in Minneapolis for the delays. Here's that term again, trajectory-based operations. It refers to the ability in next-gen air traffic control to correlate latitude, longitude, altitude, and now time to accurately project where in space an aircraft will be at any given point in time. It's a capability that will allow more traffic and closer spacing in the future. The FAA and Embry-Riddle say their joint testing of next-gen concepts will add that fourth dimension, time, in a phase of the program beginning this fall. The goal is to determine how well aircraft avionics predict and execute the optimum trajectory of an aircraft while sharing the information with ground systems. In addition to allowing more airline flights, the technology is seen as a key to eventually opening the national airspace system to unmanned craft. For now, the FAA and Embry-Riddle say the technology will be evaluated on flights in medium-density markets such as Orlando. The Associated Press reports Bell Helicopter has reduced its production workforce by 30 employees, citing the ongoing recession. 42 positions had originally been targeted, but 12 of those employees have been reassigned within the company. Bell says the 30 let go might yet find other positions in the company. Gary Livingston, a member of the UAW 218 bargaining unit, notes, in typical glass-half-empty fashion, that the 12 who were reassigned represent a de facto loss of jobs because somebody else would have been hired to fill them. Bell tells the Fort Worth Star-Telegram terminated employees will continue to receive benefits through September. Up next on ANN, the Spirit Rover is stuck in Martian soil. There's a new rocket fuel in town, and her name is Alice. And the first Cirrus Integra Release 9 retrofit outside the U.S. is completed in the U.K. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 25th. I'm Paul Plack. NASA's Mars rover team at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory is now experimenting with a second test rover, trying to devise a strategy to get the Spirit rover on Mars unstuck. The soft soil on Mars in which Spirit is mired contains little moisture. There's also less gravity, so simulating the conditions here on Earth is tough. Project manager John Callis says, quote, "There is no perfect Earth analog for Spirit's current situation," unquote. Compounding the problem is a rock underneath Spirit, presenting a dilemma any off-roader will immediately recognize. NASA says part of the strategy for getting Spirit free will be to avoid getting the center of gravity directly over a rock that's touching the rover. Or, as rock-crawling Earthlings would term it, they'll avoid getting it high-centered. There's a new rocket fuel in town, and her name is ALICE. As you might expect, it's an acronym, standing for aluminum and ice. Powdered aluminum and water ice are the ingredients, and NASA and the Air Force Office of Scientific Research report a successful test launch of a 9-foot rocket to a height of 1,300 feet over Purdue University earlier this month. ALICE is reportedly generating excitement among researchers for its potential to replace and possibly outperform some liquid or solid propellants. ALICE is said to have the consistency of toothpaste. It's fit into molds, then cooled to minus 30 degrees Celsius 24 hours before flight. Dr. Stephen F. Sun, a research team member from Purdue, explained the reason for the excitement among researchers. Quote, "Theoretically, ALICE can be manufactured in distant places like the moon or Mars, instead of being transported to distant locations at high cost," unquote. Avadyne says RGV Aviation Limited of Gloucester, England, has completed and delivered the first internationally based Cirrus SR-22 aircraft retrofit of an Integra Release 9 integrated flight deck. Alec Vincent, RGV's avionics manager, observes, quote, "We've been really impressed with the Release 9 system, and we have many customers who are now inquiring about upgrading their aircraft," unquote. Integra Release 9 is currently certified as a retrofit upgrade for existing Integra-equipped Cirrus SR-20 and 22 aircraft, with configurations starting at $39,500 U.S. Orders placed now will be available in mid-September for domestically owned Cirrus aircraft and N-registered Cirrus aircraft in international markets. Still ahead, the weekend of September 12th offers home builders lots of learning opportunities. A Piper Comanche loses a chicken race with three cars. And I'll bet you didn't wait a century for your first flight. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 25th. I'm Paul Plack. The weekend of September 12th and 13th will be a great time for aircraft builders and restorers to get out of town. The EAA Sport Air Workshops in Broomfield, Colorado are offering workshops in composite construction, fabric covering, sheet metal basics, electrical systems and avionics, and an introduction to kit building, along with an ELSA repairman's course. You can find out more at EAA.org. On the East Coast, Blue Swallow Aircraft has a unique woodworking class in antique aircraft construction and methods. The location is Keswick, Virginia, 2 hours south of Washington, D.C., and an hour west of Richmond. This program will include instruction in wood selection and grading, cutting rough planks to size, jig building, steaming and bending of wood, selection of adhesives and other wood fasteners, and techniques for splicing of spars and other wood structures. No previous experience is required, and all materials are provided. You can get additional details at blueswallowaircraft.com. Chris Sean Michael was flying with his wife Allison in a 1965 Piper Comanche 260 on Saturday morning over US 101 near Santa Barbara, California, when things suddenly got very quiet. He told the tower about the engine failure and announced his intent to try for the northbound lanes of the 101. Well, he didn't make it. He had to settle for the southbound lanes, facing oncoming traffic. That didn't go so well. CHP tells CNN the plane hit two cars during the landing, then spun around so that its tail struck a third vehicle. There's not much left of the plane, but the only injuries were minor ones to one passenger in one of the cars, a pretty remarkable outcome given the possibilities. And finally today, Helen Hape says she's wanted to go for an airplane ride for most of her more than a century on the planet, but never got the chance until last week. Dave Violetti, a volunteer at the Citizens Care and Rehabilitation Center in Frederick, where Helen now lives, says she's often remarked as she looked up at birds and planes from the courtyard at the center that she'd always wanted to fly. So, for her 102nd birthday on July 20th, he presented her with a first flight as a gift. The Frederick Flight Center provided an hour in a plane and a pilot, and Helen got an aerial tour of the area on Thursday last week along with Violetti and Margie Weaver, the marketing director for Citizens Care and Rehab. Margie says Helen was pretty quiet for the first 10 minutes, but when they told her to take the yoke, quote, she was laughing, she was hysterical, unquote. Afterward, Helen said she'd definitely go again. You know, apparently not everybody dreams of flying. I remember telling my Grandma Burnett, who lived to be 102 without ever getting on an airplane, that I had started learning to fly small aircraft, and her response was, what would you want to do that for? It's hard to know how many centenarians might be out there who've always wanted to fly, but have never had the chance. But we may soon find out. ANN has learned that EAA has a new initiative, patterned after its highly successful Young Eagles program. Anonymous sources close to the project say Bald Eagles will debut in October. Okay, I made up that whole part about EAA. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Larry Wood of the Evergreen Aviation and Space Museum shares details of the history of the SR-71 Blackbird. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.